is the covering atonement, the mercy seat. So make sure you make first that which typifies God incarnate in his Son. Make second the mercy seat that sits on the ark, the type of the covering for our sins that lets us stand in God's presence, covered by his grace. Now, outside, and get up here if you will real quickly, Mike. Here is your tabernacle. Come quickly. You're going to have to take a picture for those that can see a screen somewhere. This is the way the tabernacle looked. You got it? This is the tabernacle. Here's the outer court, altar of burnt offering, laver of cleansing. Then the tent of covering, which included the Holy of Holies and the holy place, hidden from man's eyes. And we're in this territory now. God always starts with that which is closest to him. He started with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, the only items that were in the Holy of Holies. Then you move into the holy place, outside the veil that was rent when Christ died, access now provided to the holy place. Behind the veil is the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, the first thing he talked about was the Ark that's behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies. We're inside the big tent that had two compartments. Then the next thing he talked about was the covering mercy seat, the type of Christ's death to purchase our redemption. Now we come in the holy place. Right next to the holy place is this altar of incense, the type of prayer. Here is the candlestick, so-called, literally the lampstand, because there was no candle there. The lampstand. The golden lampstand. Over here is the table of showbread. Now, common sense would say when you come from the Holy of Holies, as when you come from the Mount with the 40 days in the cloud, you talk about the prayer life, the altar of incense. But God doesn't. He immediately leapfrogs over the altar of incense. And the third piece of furniture he talks about is the table of showbread, which you can take pictures of, Mike, as I refer to it. The table of showbread. You have to come right over it if you can. Come closer if you can. Get right down on it. But I need you to see several items about it. It had a height, obviously. It had a length. It had a breadth. And there were 12 loaves, six in a line on top of it. Two crowns. The crown around the loaves, holding them in place, and then a hand's breadth border, and a second crown around that border. There were rings for staves, because like the ark, it was to be carried with them where they went. This table of showbread, once each week, as we have already taught, the people brought 12 loaves, one from each tribe, and replenished it each week as an offering from the people to God. The manna from heaven was the type of Christ. The 12 loaves and the table of showbread was an offering from the people to God, not an offering as Christ was from God to the people. The living bread that they would eat of. And as the manna provided them sustenance, they were to take from that manna, and the other references in Leviticus and Numbers teach they would grind it into fine flour, bake cakes with it, and this represented cakes baked from that fine flour, and they were to bring that which was their sustenance every week. Put it on this table in the holy place, in this holy area where God's eyes feasted on it. And Aaron and his sons each week would eat the showbread. It was their portion. Now, as I said last Sunday, they didn't have anybody in there monitoring, counting the calories and dividing them among the priests. My guess is there's probably a fat Levite or two who thus didn't really need as much bread. And proper action by the congregation to see to it that the bread was deservingly used would weigh those priests before they went in the holy place. There would be an official accountant calorie counter in there to give an annual report to the people on the dispensing of the bread. Now you carry that to the ultimate destination of the bread. And you have properly defined the role of some of those, like the Not Real Bright Society, the NRB and others, who want to account to the world concerning the matriculation of the offerings to God. Where does this money go? When I really analyze this, it might even give me great pleasure to deliver to certain bureaucratic societies where this gift from the people to God went in the olden days. In the wondrous language of the Korean War, we might designate a special honey wagon for accountability. Nobody but God and the priests dealt with this. Now, I wanted to lay again today, this Mother's Day, the framework for finishing the task on the table of showbread, which I will finish next Sunday, but there are a couple of key things I still want to point out. It was not the same width. It was a half a cubit short, being the same width as the Ark of the Covenant. And the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant speak of Christ, because the dimensions, in every case, break into half cubits of 3, 3, and 5. Manifestation, twice noted in the type of the ark, thus adequately witnessed to in the manifestation of 5, which is the number of God's grace. The ark speaks of an adequate witness to the manifestation of God's grace. The ark is the same height as the table of showbread, or I should say the other way around. The table of showbread is the same height, identical in height, reach, plateau of height as the ark. Different breadth, different length. Short in length, short in breadth. The numbers in half cubits, speaking of 4 for the whole world, 2 for the adequate witness, and 3, the height manifestation, a manifestation of the whole world in a witness or a testimonial, which is what giving is, a testimonial to the value of God and His Word. Those dimensions I want to talk about in more detail as we pursue this table of showbread in more detail. But today I only want to make 3 points. The one already made, that it's an offering from the people to God. Thus we are right back again to that objective purpose of the church, where God is forever elevating giving to this prominent role in the function of the church. Second, I want to point out the height of the table demonstrates that further. It's the only other piece of furniture. The same height as the mercy seat. Now think on that. Every other piece of furniture, which symbolizes the prayer life, which symbolizes growing in the grace of God, in the life change, is flowering in the vine, all of them fall short of the same level, same height as the mercy seat. Only that which symbolizes giving back to God out of that which He provided us rises to the same elevation of God's gift of His grace to us. They meet on the same level. By itself, it's mind-boggling. In the context of the official statements of purpose that we have been pounding these many days, it is mind-exploding to see the consistency everywhere you turn in God's book. Only that which symbolizes giving back to God, that which He provided us, rises to the same level in this house of God as the gift of God's Son to redeem us. Oh, I know the subjective purposes and the fine rhetoric, the controlling forces on the mind of the church that will say God won't share His glory. Oh, yes, He will. My Bible says, God, the Lord, gives grace and glory. He will not share the dispensing of His glory. A Jimmy Swaggart might put, no alcohol ever touched my lips. A Jimmy Swaggart might put, I never entered the door of a nightclub. God puts giving. Those other two things that are boasted of in self-righteousness wouldn't reach the backbone of a lizard that crawled the Sinai Desert. God puts giving, and only giving, on the level of the mercy seat. Which, that's Old Testament. No, it isn't. Go back to that alabaster box and the woman that Judas didn't like giving the ointment. Didn't Jesus say, wherever this gospel's preached, see to it you tell what this woman did? Are you aware I'm saying the same thing over and over again the same way?
Yes, sir.
Then you better get it. Don't tell me something Jack did or didn't ask. I don't care what Jack does today, but you better be givers when you get out of here. Second, around the side of this, to skip over the other details, are these two crowns of gold. A crown right around it, of solid gold, a hand's breadth border, and a second crown. The two always speaks of the adequate witness, and pure gold symbolizes God's glory. Twice the adequate witness, that which symbolizes giving, surrounded by God's glory, hand's breadth of God's care, second witness of surrounded by God's glory. Now again, types and shadows, as the technical theological word would express it, must confirm everything else said in God's book. You don't make doctrine out of types. Types illustrate doctrine that's clearly said. That's why I come to this after laying the foundation of the last three messages. Now the types and shadows are identified with the substance that casts the shadow in the direct statements of God's word. They are identical. He comes from the glory. Take me an offering. He builds God a sanctuary. And when God comes out of the Holy of Holies, where only the Shekinah dwelt, in the inner sanctuary, having come across the mercy seat, if he were to come through the veil that is now rent, human judgment would have him go right to the altar of incense prayer. The church has been praying mantises down through the centuries and lousy givers. God goes instantly to the table of showbread, elevates it to the height of the mercy seat, and surrounds it with a double crown of glory, saying the same message, from the glory to the glory, now the collection. You getting the message?
Yes, sir.
Go home, have a good Mother's Day, get on the phone about 3:30, and start giving.
Los Angeles, California, 90053. The number of this program is VF585. That's VF585. And join us again next time for Sunday at the King's House. This program was produced by Dr. Gene Scott.